Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back to the podcast. If you are a solopreneur, you are working for yourself, right? But that doesn't mean you need to work by yourself. And one of the mistakes I see so many women make, and I made it myself, is putting off hiring a virtual assistant for far too long, thinking they can't afford it. They don't know how to manage someone like that. They wouldn't know where to find someone like that, what to pay them, what tasks to give them. And they just end up doing all the things by themselves for far too long. This is not efficient, and it definitely holds you back. So I brought a guest on you're going to love. Her name is Belinda Sandor. Belinda has been a VA longer than most of us even knew this profession existed. She has a fantastic business called Rocket Girl Solutions, and she started a training academy called the VA Connection, where she now helps other women who want to be VAs themselves follow in her footsteps. She knows everything there is to know about finding a VA, supervising a VA, and if you want to be a VA, she's got you covered for that too. All the links to Belinda and her businesses and all the ways you can connect with her and she can help you are in the show notes. But for now, I want you to lean in and listen up, because chances are this is something you need right now. Don't wait any longer to find out how to get started. Here we go. So I have just had the most amazing pre-chat with today's guest, and oh, I feel so bad that I'm not going to be able to share it with you, but once you hear the rest of our conversation, you're going to be glad you showed up. If you are a female solopreneur, and I know my audience is mostly made up of female solopreneurs, if you do not have an executive or virtual assistant, you've heard plenty of people tell you that you should have one, that you must have one, that you need one, and you don't have one yet, this is for you. Welcome, Belinda. You have been doing this so much longer than anyone else I know, long before it was trendy, long before it was cool, and you are absolutely crushing it. So I can't wait for this conversation.
Awesome.
So let me just start with something that you've probably been asked a gazillion times, but you haven't been asked by me. Why Rocket Girl Solutions as the name of your business?
Oh, yeah. I love that story. So I had my second client later became a friend. We're very close, and he is quite the wordsmith. And I thought that I wanted to work with startups, which it turned out that I didn't want to, but he kept feeding me words like Blue Streak, Fast Start. And one of my friends, I was making everyone crazy because I didn't feel like I could start my business until I had a name. So one of my friends said, launch, not even in a conversation about, you know, about my business name. And I said, Rocket. Hung up with her, called my friend Michael and said, something Rocket. And he said, got it. He called me back later. I remember where I was standing, answered the phone. And he said, Rocket Girl, you're Rocket Girl. And I said, Michael, I am almost 50 years old. I cannot be Rocket Girl. And he said, Belinda, you're going to be Rocket Girl when you're 90 years old. Be Rocket Girl. And I said, are you sure I'm not humiliating myself? People are not going to laugh. And he said, no, it's going to be the smartest thing you ever did. Every single friend, my ex-husband, everybody said, don't do it. They said, it's not appropriate. You're making a fool of yourself. And I trusted this guy. He had what I wanted. He was a successful entrepreneur, and I did it anyway. And then I just got new friends, got divorced.
I think this is the best introduction to a guest interview I've had yet. You know what? Something that we talked about in the pre-chat and I think is really, really important for female solopreneurs is it's great to hire help. It's great to pay for coaching and consulting. You do, I do. We could wax poetic about what an accelerator it is, but At the end of the day, you really have to develop self-trust, because some of the best decisions you're going to make in your own business are going to be the ones you're going to get so much shade and so much hate, and people will try madly to talk you out of it. But you trusted yourself even then, even in the beginning. That's super impressive.
Thank you. You know, I am very careful about who I tell my ideas to. You know, I love my husband. I trust him. He is an accountant and he has a job and he knows nothing about having a business. So me bringing this idea for his opinion is not a good idea, because he's going to try to protect me. And maybe that's not what I need in that moment. So discovering who you can talk to about what is really important.
I love it. You know, I have kind of an unusual relationship with my lead virtual assistant. I know my strengths. I know my struggles. I know my strength is that I'm an ideator. I have a ton of ideas. So many, I can hardly contain them. And of course, I want to do them all. And I want to do them all the time, simultaneously, regardless of what I'm already committed to. And I have empowered her to remind me of what we're doing now. It's a little bit of a role reversal, but it totally works for us. And I think it's one of the things I want to talk about with you today is that so many people who would absolutely, deeply, madly benefit from their own virtual assistant, but they're worried about giving up control, they're worried about delegating, they're worried about looking bad to their assistant, not having it all together. I mean, there's just so many obstacles. I would love to know from you. You've been doing this for over a decade. What do you think are the biggest obstacles for women like us getting started with hiring this kind of help?
There's a lot of different things. One is the appearance of giving up control. If you hire a virtual assistant and you give up control, it will not be successful. You still are in control. And you. The other thing is there's this appearance of someone running with something that you're not managing. And if you let, if you let someone else do that, you will lose control and it won't go well. So what's really important is to think about this in a safe way, one step at a time. And you don't just run in and open the doors to somebody, give them every password you've ever had, every idea you've ever had. You start small. So I have a team as well. When I started training people to be virtual assistants, I brought on a team, and one person at a time, she worked on things at first that were not time sensitive, and there was no risk of her breaking something. So I had her organize my content. I had a ton of content. I made a copy of it in case I needed to have it, in case, you know, something happened. And she organized it. And we slowly began to trust each other, because it's a two-way street, to work together. And I think what people don't understand too is that my virtual assistant and I don't know her very well, but I trust her. She's like, she's at the top of the list. But it took a couple of years to build that, or at least, you know, months, and it continues to build. So if you think about it like a relationship and that you're going to collaborate, the support that you're going to get, if you invest in the relationship, it outweighs any risk.
I love all the things that you're saying. The fact that it is a relationship, because I think sometimes people look at it as being very transactional. And I think a lot of people who encourage others to hire and invest in a virtual assistant sort of use that sort of languaging. You're basically, you know, the common language that I see is you're just hiring this person on kind of an as-needed basis to take the things off your plate that you don't want to do. And there are plenty of people who start at that level, stay at that level. They kind of use a VA like a temp worker if they were in a corporate setting. They need this person for overflow. They need this person for like the menial tasks, the things that they don't want to do. But that is like a very low level of assistance. And there's so much more that's possible about it, but you have to see it as a relationship that takes time, that you build slowly. And I love your comment about the trust building both ways. For me, I went through several VAs that with varying results for varying reasons, but it really forced me to encounter my own trust and control issues. And that was regardless of whether they were doing a good job or not. It was really, plus the whole virtual aspect of it, I've managed many hundreds of people in my career, but the first time I managed someone virtually brought up so many fears because you can't walk down the hall and check up on them. But it's really, I think, a gateway drug to the kind of freedom that you and I both enjoy in having a fully online business, because there's so many people now who have been added to the virtual assistant pool as a result of the pandemic. I'm sure your business training VAs has just exploded, largely result of that.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I have an online community now that just hit 24,000 members of new and aspiring and established VAs. And in March of 2020, we had 2,000. So it's just growing exponentially. And it's very exciting. And there's no slowdown in terms of VAs getting clients. I'm not taking new clients on as of January because I'm focusing on the training aspect. But people are continuing to approach me and ask me if I can help them or help them find a VA.
Amazing. I'm so glad to hear it's going so well because it's really beneficial for both sides. I mean, this can literally be such a benefit to both the business owner and to the VA, who oftentimes, I'm thinking back when I had to pay for childcare for three children. If the internet had existed then, if I would have been able to work from home and earn a living and have my own business while raising my kids, that is an absolute no-brainer. So I'm super excited for the women, especially those that are moms or caring for an elderly parent or, you know, a sick spouse, anybody, or just for their own reasons. I have a chronic illness. Sometimes I need to take a very long nap in the middle of the day. I couldn't do that if I was working in an office setting. So I want to ask you this. Do you think every online entrepreneur should have a VA?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's funny because for me to get a VA was a really big deal because I know how to do all the things. Like I know how to do them really well, you know, and I know how to do them better than a lot of people just because I've been doing it for 11 years. My VA was not a VA when I hired her. She was a school administrator who didn't want to do that anymore. What I did was I found someone with a like magnificent attitude, desire to learn, really wanted to be part of a team, wanted to work with someone like me, and I just trained her. I just trained her because there's not some magical VA skill set that someone can show up with. It's really VAs are the solution to the problem you're having, you know, and it could be your content's all over the place, or it could be you're not, you know, able to do things like podcasts. Like I have two live shows that I do every week and I feel like I'm Elvis. Like, you know, I decide what I'm going to talk about. I get the content together, but I walk into StreamYard. I click a button. I'm on, I'm finished. I click the button again. And then I close down the browser. My team uploads, downloads, posts, like they do all the things. And we have systems in place so that I know it's being done properly because I don't just let my hands off the wheel. We have a document. I have three VAs and each one of them, we have a Google document and we talk to each other on it all day, despite, you know, all different kinds of time zone issues where they're literally all over the place. So I'll just have an idea and I usually say, it's kind of silly, hi there, you know, like I'm talking to them and I'll say, hope you're having a good day. Can you please take this thing that I just created and put it over there and add these four things? Thanks. You know, and I use Loom Video all the time. If it's too hard to explain, I'll just say, okay, I created this thing. It's right here. Here's the folder. Can you take that and make 20 copies and, you know, send it to that person? And so it just makes it's like a communication and we're thanking each other and, you know, and I make a video for them pretty much every week. I open my calendar and I say, this is what we're doing. Okay. So everybody's lined up, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Do you have what you need? And I turn the camera on, even if I'm in my pajamas or I look like a wreck, because I want to have that connection with them.
Because as you say, it is a relationship. And I think that
these women are running my life. Like they are serious, sorry to interrupt, but they're seriously running my life. I can't produce what we produce, all four of us. We're like dancing a ballet together.
You never would be at the place that you are right now without this team. And because they're all over the world and you have the time zones taken into account, there's a bit of choreography. There's a bit of, you know, compromise, but they have absolutely exponentially advanced and accelerated your growth. What do you think for you personally, as a CEO of your own business, were your own obstacles to doing that? Because you started by saying that you already know how to do all this, and you probably know how to do it. It's clearly your zone of excellence, if not your zone of genius. There isn't anybody probably on the planet who could do it better than you. There may be some that can do it as well as you, but you could do it quickly. So why pay someone to do something that you can do yourself? Because I think that's a stumbling block for a lot of people, even the same ones who are almost at the edge of burnout because they're working so many hours doing tons of things that they could do, but someone else could do faster and at much less opportunity cost. What would you say to them?
Well, what you have to do is you have to look at where you're adding value. Uploading and downloading a video, I've already added the value. I've told them, you know, where I'd like it to go. They've given me their opinion. We've agreed on how we're doing it. You know, it's put in a spreadsheet. Everything is organized. I do create the systems, and some of them maybe could do that as well, but I love doing that, and it furthers the feeling of control and management by doing that. So I create the system, I think it all the way through, and then I teach them in a Loom video how to manage it. I no longer can add any value to setting up events on Facebook. There's no value to that. You know, I don't bring value to putting my newsletter into MailChimp. I don't need to do that. Do I read it and push the send schedule button myself? You bet I do. You bet I do, because it's going to go out to 20,000 people. But, and here's the other thing people do that's a mistake. They don't train, they fix. And that was really hard for me, to not just fix the mistake. And because for a lot of reasons, one, I could just fix it. Two, I didn't want to criticize them, and I was maybe, you know, in a hurry, but I stopped myself from fixing. And I just now say, hey, by the way, even if I have to fix it because it's time sensitive, just want you to know the link wasn't hooked up to the whatever. I was able to fix it, but I just want you to add that to your checklist. So now I don't have to, you know, I don't have to think about it. And we document things, and I'll say, if a mistake is made, hey, can you add that to the document about what we're doing? So I don't blame. I consider all mistakes, for the most part, are an error in the way we're doing it.
Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode, because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz. And if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go. Back to the show.
I adopted this phrase of, this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it, like for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's need, where you were attractive.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware of that. I was, just because I love people, and when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle, and that's what you helped me through, mostly, in my memory of like, figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, it finally was completed. It was just like this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything. And definitely your influence helped me so much. Like it was like, you know, you're an angel.
And it can be corrected for the future. No, it's a really good point about you don't fix, you teach. Sometimes you have to fix. And I think especially for me, what I find in my business is challenging is that I have a unique voice. I have a unique perspective. I have a unique way of communicating my thoughts and ideas. So when I'm asking one of my assistants to create a caption that's going with a piece of content that I've created, she still has to use language that sounds like me. Otherwise, there's going to be a disconnect. And I find this has been one of the most challenging things where I've needed to do a lot of teaching, have a lot of patience. And, you know, to help someone understand the nuance between this word choice and that word choice, you're playing the long game, which is why I think ultimately the most successful relationships between a business owner and a VA should really look like a long-term relationship that you're both committed to as opposed to a transaction. There are people out there on Fiverr and Upwork and other places, if you just want to offload something and get it done, knowing you're probably going to have to fluff it up later. But investing in a long-term relationship with someone like you or someone that you've trained, they become a really important part of your team. Like a, almost not a legally a partner, but you are in partnership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we have a check-in call every Tuesday. And my first question is this okay? Is this working for you? Like, do you have everything you need? You know, and because I want them to be happy. And we have times where we're launching enrollment for my signature program. And I send them all money for food. Get your kids some pizza, you know, put some stuff in the fridge. You know, because I don't want them to be struggling and then at their expense having to buy these things that they need. You know, if they need a hotspot for the internet, I'm like, here you go. You know, whatever they need. One of my VAs needed some more RAM in her computer in order to do things that I wanted her to do. I paid for it. You know, so it is a long-term relationship. And again, you know, we started to trust each other over time, but I am as reliant on her as she, you know, as she is on me. And so it goes both ways. And all of their happiness is very important to me and their satisfaction and that they feel challenged and appreciated.
Absolutely. Well, you sound like a very good boss too. And you're anticipating, you know, because if you have spent the time training someone and investing in their growth and development, not fixing their mistakes, but showing them what you want in the future, you want that person to stick around. You don't want to start all over with somebody else.
No, and I used to be a really bad manager. So I appreciate that compliment. In my 30s, the first time I was ever managing a group of people in corporate America, I thought I needed to be firm and strict and uphold the rules and hold people accountable. I was terrible at delegating. If someone came to me with a sick child and I didn't have children and I wasn't married, you know, I was like, okay, how long is this going to last? You know, and not quite tone, but that's how I felt. Yeah. Yeah. And I did a lot of, I mean, being a good manager, I think is about being self-aware. You know, every time someone points out a mistake that has happened in the business, you know, like a typo or something, I'm like, oh yeah, I did that. It's always me, you know, it's not them because I messed with their stuff, you know, but I wasn't always a good manager. I was not compassionate and I'm not always compassionate. If my VA makes it all about them, they're not a good fit. You know, like I had a VA for a while who her basement kept flooding and her boyfriend kept breaking up with her and like all these things kept happening. It was like a habit, you know, and I had to let her go. I tried to teach her and to coach her and to help her. And then I just had to say, this is the me show. Like, this is all about me. And I want you to be happy and I want you to feel fulfilled, but this stuff has to get done. And so we have to have a different solution. And that's happened a few times.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that I will hear women who legitimately understand that they need a VA, but they'll tell you about the nightmare VA that they hired or the person who changed. Well, this happened to me. I hired a person who was recommended to me by someone I knew. And she convinced me, because I was brand new to online business and I didn't know any of these things, she convinced me that every single platform I was using was the wrong one for my business. So I needed to change the hosting for my website. I needed to change my client records management system. I needed to change, like, literally everything. And then once, of course, she was being paid to do that, once all of those things were done, she told me, oh, by the way, I'm changing my business model and I'm no longer a virtual assistant. Now I'm an online business strategy and here's my new rate sheet. And it was triple what I was paying her and it's effective in a month. And I literally was barely making any money at that time. And I'm like, I don't know that this is going to work for me. Can you at least teach me how to use all the platforms you just built for me before you go? And she's like, sorry, you're going to have to get someone else. So because there are stories about nightmare VAs out there, and of course, people who are already nervous about delegating and giving up control and investing in relationships and all of those other obstacles, of course, they fixate on those. But I have also heard from members of my team about nightmare clients that they've had who totally exploited them, had them do so much work, didn't pay them, ghosted them. So, you know, I think it's just people, right?
It is. It's just people. Yeah, it's just people. And just like any relationship, you know, you want to take small steps. A VA can be the answer to, you know, all of your problems and can be the solution you're looking for. But think about dating. You know, you don't go on a first date and then put the guy on your bank account as a cosigner. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that. You have to think about it. And there are very safe ways to share passwords so that the VA can use the password but not see it and not change it. You know, and in the beginning, duplicate your files if you're going to have them, organize them just in case. I mean, I am a very competent VA, but I have made mistakes. I have made a lot of mistakes, you know, and so it can happen. It can definitely happen. But if the intent is in the right place, you know, we all, both sides learn from it.
Indeed. That. And I would say that oftentimes it's like, you know, that I used to be a psychotherapist. And one of the first things I stopped doing was couples therapy. And the reason why is not because there are not plenty of, you and I have both been divorced, so we know there are plenty of couples who need couples therapy. But typically, and I later found that this is backed up by research, the majority of couples who are in deep trouble and definitely need therapeutic intervention do not do so until their relationship has been deeply troubled for 6 or 7 years. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is that I find that with some of the business owners who are least satisfied with their virtual assistant arrangement are the ones who waited way too long to get help and then were in such dire straits in their business that they literally wanted this person to perform a miracle. And it's like, that's not fair. You've probably heard those stories or maybe had those experiences too.
I've had clients like that. Yeah, I've had clients like that. This is funny. You'll appreciate this. A woman came to me right at the pandemic. Her business completely went away instantly. She needed the revenue stream. And she said, I have a lot of content. Can you create a course for me with my content so I can make money while I'm on the beach? And I'm like, no, that's impossible. No, I can't. But someone else might have tried to help her. You know, I don't know. But can I create a course? Yes. You know, can I put it on the internet? Yes. What's your email list? 30? No. Okay. You know, so, I mean, these are real stories. People have come to me and, you know, on their last legs and it's just, it's not.
No. And it's because you've got so many years of experience under your belt that you know what the red flags are. You know that even if you are, you know, a firefighter, even if you love nothing better than a great challenge, that has to be a hard no because there's just so many risks there.
Yes. I want to make another point that keeps popping into my head, and that is cut your losses quickly. Because if you've hired someone and they're not working out, in the very beginning, they're on best behavior, usually, right? If you think about it. And it's only going to get...
Like any relationship.
That's right. Right. Exactly. You know, and so you want to cut your losses. And what I hear people say, I hear VA say this, and I also hear clients say this, but I really like them. Like, great, have lunch. you know, but it doesn't, don't further this relationship, you know, don't further this relationship so that, because you want to be nice to them. I mean, I had one woman who was a VA, she was a cancer survivor. She was a single mother. She was like all these things. And she kept ghosting me. I helped her get 3 clients. She ghosted them. You know, like it shouldn't have gone on that long. I should have, you know, when I first sensed, but I wanted to be nice, but don't do that. Just don't do that. It's not helping anybody. And you can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved.
And these are the words of wisdom that can only be spoken from somebody who has been doing this for a long time, experienced all the things that can be experienced, and now is in the position to teach others how to set up their own business right, what clients to avoid, what expectations to set, and so forth, which, you know, I'd like to think that you are not only helping all the young women who desire to be VAs, but all the business owners who need somebody who's been trained the right way so that embarking on this kind of relationship feels a lot less risky. So I will make sure that we link to your website, to your business. If somebody listening is like, I actually would like to be a VA, not have a VA. And I know that you are not taking any more clients as well, but you are a wealth of information and resources. I want to ask you one last question before you go. Is there a reliable way to know that it's time? And which is not exactly the same thing as knowing you're ready, because that's self-awareness and mindset. And, you know, that's a very individual thing. But do you think that there's a way of knowing reliably it's time for me to hire someone?
When that's a really good question. So I hired my first VA before I thought I needed them. And what happened was I was able to move so many things that were on my plate off of my plate that my business exploded because I was able to use my creativity. I was no longer worrying in the shower, you know, did I upload that file? Did I download that file? All of a sudden, I could sit down and I could write and I could create and I could learn how to be good on camera. And so much excitement started when I had someone to help me. Now, I did this before I had monetized my business. My VA business was subsidizing my training business and was paying for my VA for this business. But I think you have to take the step before you're really underneath it all, because it's kind of too late. And if you are underneath it all and you have some runway, you can fix it, but start before. And essentially what happened to me was I was coaching with someone. She said, you are going to hire a VA. And I said, why would I do that? I'm not making any money. And she said, because you're not going to make any money unless you hire a VA. And I was paying her and I trusted her and I did it. And it is like, you know, short list, top 10 things, you know, best ever that I have done in my life, in my business. My revenue has quadrupled since I hired my VA, all 3 of them. And we love each other. Like, it's just a love fest. We're having so much fun creating what we're doing.
And that was a great coaching outcome, because you invested in that coaching. Even if you were scared, even if it was uncertain, even if you're like, I'm not making any money, how can I invest? She's like, this is a chicken or egg situation. You're looking at the wrong end of the equation.
That's absolutely right. And as a chicken owner, I agree.
So I am going to bid goodbye to the owner of the most amazing chicken coop and keep on laying those golden eggs. And I'm so glad that you were here to talk some sense into anyone in this situation who's still holding out. Absolutely a game changer. And I will say for myself, should have done it sooner and should have cut my losses more quickly. You're not doing anybody any favors trying to be nice. You're in this to win this, not to be liked or popular. Thanks, Belinda.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.